How do you feel about puppies? How do you feel about puppies? Can someone explain to me why cats are the biggest hit on YouTube? Listen, I know you clapped loud, but there were six of you. They're adorable. They grew up to be dogs, but they're adorable when they're little, like most of us. At the end of today, I'm going to call you a puppy. And I don't mean anything mean by it. Let's start there. As they came into the room, they made a mistake that they probably didn't even realize they were making. I don't know what did it. They were too hungry. They were in too much of a hurry. But they bypassed a step as they just rushed into the room and sat down. They were supposed to go over to a small bowl, basin, run their hands through it, and lift their hands up like a surgeon headed in for surgery, and let the water run down and drip off their elbows until there was nothing else dripping. Lest when they put their hands down, something untoward got onto their fingers. But they didn't. They just rushed over, sat down, and started eating. And it frustrated some people. And it became a subject of some importance. Because it sets up an understanding, a change in understanding for all of us that leads to the puppies. It's a pretty well-known story. Matthew records it in chapter 15, Mark in chapter 7. I'm going to choose 15 because there's a translation in chapter 7 that messes with our head. But if you'd like, we can talk about that after. But he describes this moment, this event. Both of them describe this event and the next. But a primary thought amidst it all is that which comes out of the mouth comes from the heart and defiles a man. In other words, your heart's broken. And it drives a lot of stuff that you shouldn't and that it should. It's in Matthew 15. Let me try this again. The scribes and Pharisees. Scribes are the legal experts, biblical legal experts. We might refer to them as theologians, but a certain kind of theologian. They were theologians whose job it was to make sure you walked the right path, that you didn't wander off. They're theologians trying to keep you from doing something out of what's defined within the law. And remember, the Torah is full of a lot of things you're supposed to do, including whether you're supposed to be defiled or not. The scribes and the Pharisees, who are from Jerusalem, come to Jesus saying, "Why do you and your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why do your disciples? For they do not wash their hands when they eat the bread." They came in, they forgot about the basin. They didn't wash their hands. Apparently, they said their appropriate prayer because there was a blessing before you ate, and apparently, they got that right. And Jesus begins to talk about this defilement issue. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. In the description of that day, Jesus seems to throw everything they understood out the window. It's not what goes into your mouth, but what comes out. As Seventh-day Adventists, we have opinions about this. As Jewish people, they had opinions about this. His disciples had opinions about this. They come to him and they say, you know that business about what goes in and what comes out and all that? You know, it made the Pharisees upset. You know, they didn't like what you had to say. They were offended. Does it seem to be Jesus' mission to not offend the Pharisees? It almost seems like it's the opposite, right? It seems like he's spending all of his time trying to offend the Pharisees. If this is new information to you, let me just catch you up with what several other people in here are probably thinking. In Leviticus, there's a long description of the things you can and things you can't eat. Basically, I'll give you my personal summary of it and my understanding of it in the summary. The list basically, get the word basically, refers to things whose job it is to clean up messes. And it says don't eat them. Don't eat the pool sweep. Do not eat the pool filter. Do not eat the creatures that are crawling around with inside the pool to clean up after the creatures that have died in the pool. On land, do not eat the animals whose job it is to clean up the things that other animals have left behind, including their carcasses. I know that's a very rough description. I realize camels are in this, and I don't know what they're doing wrong, but they're wrong. When it talks about four-footed animals, it says something about rumination and the number of stomachs they have. There's something about that multiple stomach. That multiple stomach thing seems to make an impact on whether they're clean or unclean. Before we move on, because we're sitting here with the disciples, not wondering what's going to happen next, because Jesus said things that offended the Pharisees. Before we move on, can I just tell you that the biblical recommendations on food are recommendations about food. The biblical recommendations about food are recommendations about food. Are we clear? The guy who made you said the fuel that you should intake is this stuff, not that stuff. Fair enough for him? How you doing with it? Yeah, I've been to dinner with some of y'all. A good friend of mine once told me that when he went to McDonald's and got the, what is it called? The little Egg McMuffin, that's what it is. Thank you. How did you know? Same friend. Same friend. He said that he would get it with the Canadian bacon on it and then take it off because it tasted better. Heathen. I'm going to go on with this business, but I need to tell you one last piece before we do. I want to launch into a quick understanding. God has the right to help guide us in what we take in. Correct? He made us. He happens to know. And most of it is extremely logical. Don't eat the pool filters. Don't eat the pool sweeps. Don't eat the buzzards. Don't eat the things that eat everything and anything, because you are what you eat. Amen. And if you do eat it, you are unclean until dark. The Pharisees were upset. The disciples looked at those Pharisees and said, that's a ticked off Pharisee right there. And they went to Jesus and said, you know, you offended those guys, right? Yeah, he knew. Somebody pulled the fire alarm. I don't know what we're going to do while that's happening. My mic goes off, it's one thing. That thing goes off, it's another thing entirely. Would somebody please check and make sure there's not an actual fire? If there is, we're completing this outside. You might want to do this. You only get one set of ears. Those of you on YouTube, the fire alarm's going off in here. If you didn't know.
No fire?
No, no fire? Accidental pull. Somebody out there is feeling really embarrassed. I don't know. I'm hoping somebody out there knows. I think there's a little button to reset them all. So if you wanted to talk about clean and unclean right now, go ahead. Talk about it among yourselves. I've been in this church for a long time. I've never had this happen. Oh, there it is. Whoever managed to turn it off, there it is. Here's what I wanted to continue with you in this. They're recognizing, I'm just carrying on, folks. I'm just going on like nothing ever happened. They're recognizing that they've offended, that Jesus has offended the Pharisees. I'm a number of slides back somehow. There we are. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Does this sound like he's talking about the same subject? He's like he switched lanes altogether. Now he's talking about plants. A minute ago he was talking about clean and unclean things, and now he's talking about plants. And they're not even sure what he was talking about in the first place. Then he says to the Pharisees, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. He says to the Pharisees, they don't understand what they're talking about. When they started this conversation with the disciples saying, how dare they not wash their hands before they eat? Jesus said, you realize you guys teach a tradition that says that if you don't want to help your elderly parents in their hour of need, when they're financially distressed, you can just say to the church, and it's worse than that, what I would have given my parents is korban, or a gift to the church. And so they would go to the priest, they would make a deal with the priest, and they would say, here's the $50,000 that I would have spent on my parents in their old age. Here's the money that has been set aside for that. It's now a gift to the church. And it stays in the church treasury, in the church's possession, until your parents die. And then you can buy it back for 5% on the dollar. That was a church regulation. That is one of the worst fundraising concepts I have ever heard. Amen. Jesus said, you teach this, and this is entirely against the scripture. Should have followed it up with, what's wrong with you guys? And they're offended, and he's not happy about the fact, or he doesn't care that they're offended. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. Goodness gracious. Now the fire department's calling. Tim, talk to those people, will you? Yeah, so is my wristwatch. I don't know what's going on today, but I'm going to finish this. Especially now. I'm just getting more stubborn is all. Peter answered him and said, explain this parable to us. I don't understand how this food that goes in and food that comes out, I don't understand what you're saying. Are you saying that only things that come out are going to make me unclean? What about all those things we're not supposed to eat? It's like, I don't get it. Please explain this parable. He doesn't believe that it's a piece of truth. He believes it's got to be some story with some other meaning, with some other piece out there. He's trying to figure out what in the world Jesus is saying. Because it doesn't fit with the way he understands the world. Frankly, if we were reading this from Mark, right here, Mark throws in his own little bit. He's about to say, what goes out of the mouth, or what you eat goes out of your body in another way. And Mark throws in a little parenthetical statement. If your Bible doesn't make this a parenthetical statement, by the way, it's a bad translation. Look it up. He makes a little parenthetical statement. And he says, cleaning all food. In the Greek, it's just cleaning all food. Lots of people go back to that and say, see, I get to eat bacon if I want to. I'm not sure that's what it's intended. Pretty sure it's not. So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Peter, don't you get this yet? Peter, the guy who is going to be called the Rock. This guy who will one day be crucified upside down for his faithfulness to Jesus. Do you not understand it yet? Do you not understand what we're talking about? Do you remember what this all started by? The disciples bypassed the washing of their hands before they started eating, and the Pharisees got mad. That's it. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? You know that process. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from where? The heart. Said you will be known by what you say. The things you say and the way you speak will identify you. Is that true? We experience this. We talk to people all the time. And we not only listen to their words, but we listen to the inflection in their voice. And what comes out of them, Jesus said, that's what defiles man. Out of his heart proceed thoughts, evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. It all starts with washing hands. Jesus is washing hands is not an issue, guys. It's not that big a deal. It's more of a deal if you're one of those 60% who don't wash up after they've been to the restroom. If that's you, it means a lot to the rest of us. These are the things which defile man. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So now we've come all the way back to the opening of the subject. Do you get the picture so far? Mm-hmm. Promise I'm going somewhere with this in spite of the fact my ears are still ringing. Jesus and his disciples come to a meal. The Pharisees and the scribes are watching. The disciples don't go to the basin and wash their hands first. They just go straight to the potluck and they start eating. And the Pharisees say, how dare they? And Jesus says, how dare you? And Peter comes back and says, wait a second, you made those guys mad. And Jesus said, I don't care. They're blinded and they don't understand the point. And I'm afraid that most of us read this passage and we don't understand the point either. We're looking for a loophole to eat a sausage. Amen. And Jesus says, this thing isn't about that at all. It's about hands being cleaned. And it's about what comes out of your heart. There are big issues. And there are not as big issues. And what comes out of your heart is much, much, much more important.
Amen.
Are you sitting there with Peter asking me to explain this parable? Jesus says, you put oil in your car and gas in the tank, not oil in the engine, or not gas in the engine and oil in the tank. Is that enough information for me to move on from that? If you're looking for a loophole to eat a sausage, I'm not giving it to you. You can take that up with Jesus. But I do want you to recognize that he is saying, Peter, it's a bigger deal. What you say, what comes out of your heart is a bigger deal. A bigger deal than whether you wash your hands before you eat. And I want to move you into the next thing. Dirt can be washed off, but a heart must be transformed. Dirt can be washed off, but a heart must be transformed. It's why we tell you over and over again when we do a baptism that a baptism is a symbol of a heart transformation. Because a baptism isn't about washing. A baptism is a symbol of death and resurrection. It's a huge symbol. And if we think it's just about washing, we miss it entirely. Jesus is calling on his disciples to look more deeply at what's at stake than the washing of hands. The very next thing Jesus does should not be missed. Interaction with the Pharisees and the disciples and the washing of hands and what defiles a man is what comes out of a man is followed by this. Then Jesus went out of there. Anybody know where he went? He went to Tyre and Sidon. If you're reading along in your Bible, he went to Tyre and Sidon. Do you realize that Tyre and Sidon is unclean? The whole place. These are Gentile cities. The fact that Jesus walks in there, that the fact that he goes into someone's home there is all very, no, this isn't such a great thing to do. He goes to Tyre and Sidon. And there's a lot of things behind this. I think he's going because he needs a break. He goes to Tyre and Sidon. Trying to get away, I think, because it's shortly after John the Baptist's death. Jesus has had this conversation with them about what defiles a man, and then he goes to a defiled place with them. He takes them to a place that would be traditionally understood to be unclean as a place. Do you remember when Peter went into the home of the centurion, what a big deal that was? Remember? In Acts chapter 10, when he goes into the home of this Roman centurion, and there's a whole question about whether he can even go in there and eat with this guy. That's beyond even thinking about, because the food that a centurion would serve him would be unclean because it was touched by a centurion. Jesus is saying there are bigger issues. It's what comes out of a man that makes a difference. It's what comes out of a man that makes a difference. And then a woman comes by. Jesus is trying to get away, and this woman starts pestering him, pestering him, pestering him. She's a Syrophoenician woman. You know what she is? An unclean Gentile. She comes and says, I need your help. Jesus says, no, can't do it. No, can't do it. Disciples are saying, kick her out, get rid of her, tell her to go away. She just keeps at it. I love this woman. This is the person who prays and won't quit. This is the person who comes to God and says, I need help, I need help, I need help, I need help, I need help. And they just stay at it. Syrophoenician woman is by definition unclean. Jesus even says it to her. Here we come to the puppies. He says, my mission is to the lost sheep of Israel. It isn't right to give the food of the children to the puppies. Some of your Bibles will say dogs, but there's a diminutive in this word. Better translated, puppies. But woman, I love her boldness. She says, yeah, but even the puppies get to eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. And all I need is a crumb. I'm not asking for a meal. I'm not asking for everything. I just need a crumb. My daughter is inhabited by an evil spirit, and I am powerless to help her, but I believe you can help. He's got an unclean woman asking for help with a really unclean kid in an unclean place. Why did Jesus take the disciples there? There's a transition about to take place. The message of the gospel is about to go to the entire world. And these guys need to start waking up to what's going on. They hear Jesus say, "Is it right to give the food of the children to the puppies?" Do you know what they want Jesus to say? Is it right to give the food of the children to a dog like you? They want this to be much more about the separation. Jesus actually softens this landing a lot. And he offers this woman an opportunity to speak. And she does. I'll take the crumbs that fall off. I'm not asking you to put a plate on the floor. I'm asking you to let me come under the table and eat the things that fall. Jesus says, "Wow, lady, your faith is amazing. Your faith in what? In who? In God, in Jesus, in the authority and power of God through Christ to change the direction of her child's life. Anybody praying for a child who seems like they have something going sideways in their life? Don't quit. Anybody praying for something that feels like a lost cause? Too big? Too immense? It takes just a crumb. The authority and power of God is so immense, beyond our understanding, beyond measure, that a crumb from the table of God can transform everything. He says, "Lady, this is exemplary faith. Go home. Your child is healed." If you're following along, if you're looking at this in your Bible, you will see that we know the outcome of this prayer. When you know the outcome of something like this, you should stop and ask, how do we know this? The Bible says, and her daughter was healed. If she went home and they never had any more interaction with her, how would we know what happened to her daughter? I think she came back. In fact, I'm almost positive she came back. Wouldn't you come back with your daughter in tow? And say thank you. The reason I wanted to bring you to this passage, these passages today, is because God wouldn't let me not. I've been trying to avoid this sermon for 3 weeks. Because I know it irritates some of you when I speak about clean and unclean. Well, too bad. Look, God is God. He made you. He said these are the things you should eat, these are the things you shouldn't. Own it. Trust Him. It's a pretty small thing. But He wouldn't let me get past the Syrophoenician woman and her story and her daughter. Because here is somebody who's desperate for Jesus. And I know people show up at church sometimes desperate for Jesus. And if you are sitting there today or you're out there at your, on your couch and you're desperate for Jesus, you have to understand that in your desperation, He sees faith. In your hope against hope, He sees an open opportunity to throw His arms around you and answer your prayer. So I'm asking you today, don't give up. Keep asking. Scripture calls you to keep asking. Jesus shows you what happens if you keep asking. But something's gotten a hold of me. Yeah. Demons have been thrown out. Dead people have been raised. Keep asking. If you need some help with that, if you're here today and you need some help with that ask, with that question, that concern, that heartbreak that you just can't seem to get past, I'll be here, I'll be around, or go to that corner where the people are going to pray for you and pray with you. Because I believe God wants to do something in you. If you say, but I'm the person with all the defilement coming out of my mouth, those things that He talked about, that's me. I know what it's like to be an angry person who spews things on people. I've fallen into the pornography pit. I've lost myself in lust after someone. I've lost myself in breaking up my life and my family and my marriage. Come back. He's never rejecting you to the point where He won't take you back. You have walked away from Him. He's pursuing you. Come back. Turn around. Go home. A woman in an unclean place who has an unclean child that she's praying for comes to Jesus and she says, please. He ignores her. Please. He ignores her. Please. He ignores her. You know why I think He's ignoring her? Two things. One, her faith is growing every time she comes back. And two, His disciples need to see what's about to happen after it reaches its extremities. Because the disciples would have ignored her and walked away and been done with it. They say they would. They say, throw her out. Kick the baggage to the curb. And Jesus turns to her and says, your faith is amazing. Crumbs? Of course you can have crumbs. Of course you can have. What God has already intended for you. It was never an exclusive deal with the children of Abraham. It was always a deal meant across the whole planet. I want to leave you one more picture of puppies. You see, this puppy had a puppy. want you to imagine when she walks through the door and her child is in her right mind. And what had been a request of faith, I know you could do this if you will do this, has become a reality in her family. And maybe for the first time in years, they embrace without the struggle of the pain that's in her life and her heart. And I've already told you what I think happened next. I think she combed her hair, washed her face, because moms like to do that sort of stuff to their kids, and walked back to that house where Jesus was. Walked into the door to the amazement of the disciples. And said, I got home, and she was whole. When I got home, she was healed. And I wanted to come back and say thank you and let you meet Lily and let you meet Susie, let you meet Tammy, because she's good. So much more to say, but let's pray. Lord, everyone in this room, or almost everyone in this room, is born outside the covering of the covenant with Abraham. Thank you that the disciples who were so confused by all of this eventually understood. Thank you that we are the product of their willingness to take the message outside of the boundaries of Israel to the rest of the world. Thank you for the people who told us and the people who told them. Thank you for the disciple that is our spiritual ancestor, whoever that is. Thank you for Jesus, who built a bridge across a chasm none of us could cross. Thank you that you pursued us to this little blue, messed up spot. Thank you for all the wholeness that you have granted and the hope that we hold. In Jesus' name.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in this life, and my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I am preparing for you. And I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. And my Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation He has proved His love to me. When I lack the understanding, He gives more grace. And to me, my Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything He has said, He will do. And every morning, His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Jesus is faithful and true.
If you will stand with me and we can pray. Lord, it just feels like in this text you are not only speaking to each of us, but also challenging us. I walk away with the thought that it is a moment of self-reflection when we ask for something from you and to be persistent. And I'm also reminded through this text, Lord, that as you grow our faith, we are transformed. And the beauty of that transformation is that others see it and are drawn to you. It is a beautiful cycle and it is a challenging cycle because it takes us to look at ourselves. So God, grant us the mercy and the grace to look at ourselves, because we all want to be transformed.